Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. There's no other place that I would rather be than in God's house with God's people. Amen. And I appreciate this opportunity that we have to be able to minister here. I appreciate the ministry, Brother Shane, Sister Kayla, and how they stand for the Lord and the message that they preach. I appreciate this church. I know it's been some time since we've been here last, and my apologies on that. I need to come through and visit more often. But a lot has changed since the last time we was here. We had made Landmark our home church. That's our home base that we evangelize out of. And we had just found out back in November that we were expecting baby number 3. And I don't know why. Well, I know we already have 2, but I don't know why. But this one makes me nervous. And it's not that I'm nervous about the chaos of 3 kids. It's just, I guess the responsibility of being a father has been freshly brought up in my mind and in my heart. So I'm nervous. But we'll be all right. We'll get through it with the Lord's help. This morning, I've got a message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. I've been praying. Brother Shane, when I called him the other week, and I'd seen that we had some time, and I was just genuinely wanting to come and be with them in fellowship. He had asked me to preach this Sunday morning, and I began to pray and ask God to give me direction, and I feel like this is the direction that the Lord has led us to go in. And I was even praying here this morning, going through my notes and just trying to make sure that I had the mind of God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful, amen, for God's presence here in this place. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us here in this service. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for lives to be changed. Do you believe it? I'm looking for lives to be changed. I'm looking for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for God to come and move on His people. This new year, made a fresh commitment to the Lord. And in the endeavors of seeking for truth, I find myself in need. Everywhere that I look, God, I need you here. God, I need you there. And I see that God's grace has been more than able to come and cover where I've been lacking. And I thank God that He has dealt with me, spoke to my heart. This is what we need to change. This is where we could do better. Thank God for it. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to the book of Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verse 3. Again, I want to say how much I appreciate this opportunity that we have to be able to minister. I make this promise to you. If y'all come back tonight and Lord permit, my wife will be singing. I know y'all didn't come to hear me preach. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, if you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Galatians 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. When we read there in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul will write and say, grace to you. When we read over here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18, we see him write and say, grace with you. I want to take these two verses of scripture that we have read from. I want to preach to us just for a little while. Grace to you and grace with you. Grace to you and grace with you. You going to help me preach this morning? Amen. I'm trusting that you will. Stretch your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help anoint in this place. Everybody praying together. Dear Heavenly Father,
your word today, Lord, oh God, I pray, God, that you would come by and speak to our hearts, Lord. Minister this congregation.
I pray, God, that the conviction of the Holy Ghost, God, settle in this place.
We believe that your grace is sufficient.
God, let us rejoice
in the grace that you have given unto us.
I pray, oh God, that every heart, every mind be open to receive from you.
Also upon our ears, Lord, to hear and see the word of God, who has the Bereans.
Thank you for your grace.
Receive it with a readiness of mind, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus, that your will be done.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Grace to you and grace with you. When we read in the book of Galatians, we will find reoccurring words and phrases that point us to the theme of this letter. Words like grace, justified, faith, and phrases like through faith, through Jesus, and in the Spirit. All of these words and all of these phrases point us to the theme of this letter. Matter of fact, in Paul's introduction, verses 3 through 5, we will see that Paul gives unto them, his mission statement, if you would, when he says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This statement alone is why Paul is writing this letter to the churches of Galatia in the first place. He is reminding them that it is through the grace of God that Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this evil age in which we are living in. But not only to deliver us from this evil age, but also from the wrath that is to come upon from the Father upon those that are participating in evil wickedness. Paul reminds them in these three verses of this truth, that they have already had proclaimed unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul will continue to hash out in detail exactly what he is addressing in the next six chapters. Understand with me that the churches of Galatia have been influenced by certain individuals. By what name, we do not know. We are not given the privilege to know the name of these individuals. Matter of fact, Paul will address them as certain individuals, but nonetheless, these individuals have came in and they deceived them into believing that they are, into thinking that their right standing with God was based on the works of the law. They have been deceived into believing that if they keep the law, that they will be in right standing with God. The issue of circumcision and keeping the old covenant has rose up again within these churches. This is such a serious issue that Paul will express unto them that they are in danger of forsaking God's grace. He writes unto them and tells them that they are in danger of forsaking the grace of God. They are in danger of making the blood of Jesus Christ to none effect. Well, Brother Austin, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. What that means is this: if they truly believe they can be justified and be made righteous by the law, then they do not need the grace of God. They do not need the love of God. They do not need the death of Jesus Christ, and they make the death of Jesus Christ to be null and vain in their lives. Listen to me, friend. There's not one of us in here under the sound of my voice that can live without the grace of God. Come on here now. There's not one person under the sound of my voice that can live their life without the grace of God. And these people are being reminded of this very thing, that it is by grace that you and I are saved. It is by grace that God, it is by the grace of God that I've been made alive by the Spirit. It is by the grace of God that I've been redeemed by glory divine. It is by the grace of God that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is by the grace of God. Now, it would be easy for us to point fingers at the churches of Galatia and say, I cannot believe that they were so easily deceived into believing such a lie. But we as Pentecostals, if we're not careful, we ourselves can be deceived into believing that our good works is what is helping us to be in right standing with God. Because we dress a certain way, because we act a certain way, because of the good deeds that we do, because of the works that we're involved in, because I come to church and I pay my tithe, that is helping me to be in right standing with God. Listen to me, friend. I believe in living a holy life. I believe in living the principles of the Word of God. I believe in living a life of separation. But we must not be deceived into thinking that if we do these things alone, that's what makes us right with God. I'm telling you, friend, there's nothing that you and I could ever do to be made righteous in the sight of God. We couldn't work hard enough. We couldn't put in enough dedication. We couldn't sell all that we had to buy the righteousness of God. The only way that you and I are able to be made righteous in the sight of God is by the grace of God. Yes. If we were to continue reading in the chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, we will find that Paul will speak about Abraham and how he was made righteous, not because of works, not because of sacrifices, but he was made righteous by grace through faith. It was not in anything that Abraham did. It wasn't in the choices that he had made. His faith was counted unto him for righteousness because of grace. If you would follow with me in your minds just for a moment as we delve into this a little bit further. If we were to go back into the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, we will see in the beginning verses that God will give a promise unto Abraham. He tells him, he says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We will find that Abraham would go on a journey and wind up in the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised unto him. During his stay there at Canaan, the Bible tells us that there was a famine in the land, and that it was so serious, such a serious famine that Abraham went to Egypt to stay there for a season until the famine was over. But while they were coming into Egypt, we will see that Abraham, for whatever reason, he decided that he was going to deceive the people of Egypt by telling them that his wife Sarah was not actually his wife, but his sister. Now, we all know the story. Sarah gets taken as Pharaoh's wife, and God sends plagues unto Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh pretty much looks at Abraham and says, why did you do this thing? Why didn't you just tell me that she was your wife? And
Pharaoh let Sarah go. Now I would like you to notice something. Pharaoh lets Abraham go with his stuff. He lets him go with his life. And he lets him go with his wife. That is God's grace. Abraham could have been killed by Pharaoh. Abraham could have been put in the grave by Pharaoh. But instead, Abraham has let go with his stuff. He's let go with his wife. And he has let go with his wife. When we get to chapter 13, we do not see that Abraham repented. He might have, I'm not exactly sure, but scripture does not tell us that there was a time that Abraham cried out unto God and said, please forgive me for what I have done. Please forgive me for the deceitfulness that I had in my heart. We do not see that there, but yet God renewed his vow with Abraham again, not because Abraham chose to dwell in Canaan, not because of the good that Abraham has done, but God renewed his vow with Abraham because of God's grace. And the same is true with you and I. It is by the grace of God. It is by his grace that you and I are saved. It is by his grace that I've been made alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is by his grace that I've been made righteous in his sight. It's by the grace of God that I'm not destroyed by the wrath of God. It is by the grace of God that he sent his son to die on the cross to be our substitutionary sacrifice. Oh yes, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. What is this gift? Is it deliverance? Is it salvation? No, sir, no, ma'am. The gift is Jesus Christ. He gave himself for our sins. He didn't come as a king, but he came as a baby in a manger. He didn't come to receive accolades. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He didn't come to be lifted up by man, but he came to be lifted up on a cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't come with selfish motives, but he came so that you and I could be in communion with God again. He didn't come with personal intentions, but he came to die so that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. And this is the grace of God, that God will send his son to die on the cross to be the propitiation for your and my sin. God committed this love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm telling you, friend, I thank God for his grace. I said, I thank God for his grace. I'm thankful that God has been gracious unto me. Because of his sacrifice, if I believe on him, I shall have eternal life. Because of his sacrifice, if I believe on him, I am made an overcomer. Because of his sacrifice, if I believe on him, I'm able to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Because of his sacrifice, if I believe on him, I am no longer an enemy of God, but I'm an heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It is through this faith in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life that makes me justified, makes me righteous just in the Son of God. It is by the grace of God that you and I are able to be set free from the bondage of sin. No wonder the songwriter wrote, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life. Thankful the grace of God in my life. The original verses of scripture that we have read from, Paul starts off his introduction of this letter by saying, grace be to you. Grace to you. What is grace? Well, it's a woman's name. No. What is grace? I've heard it put so many different ways. I've heard that grace is God's unmerited favor. But I believe the best definition of grace that I've heard is this:
God's disposition to treat us better than we deserve. Or simply God's nature to treat us better than we deserve. We need not talk about divine fairness with God. Because if God was fair, every single one of us would be destroyed. We dare not talk about divine fairness. God, this isn't fair. I can't believe you're allowing this in my life. I can't, whoa, yeah, friend. Listen, friend, God's a just God. He's not a fair one. And thank God for it. Because if he was fair, you and I would be destroyed by the very sin that we were living in. But instead, God sent his son to make a way for us to live and have life more abundantly. Hallelujah. God's disposition to treat us better than we deserve. I believe everyone in here can say amen to that. That God has definitely treated us better than we deserve.
Come on here now.
When Paul is writing to the Galatian church, we can see the seriousness of the situation that they are in. Matter of fact, Paul expresses to them how distraught he is. He expresses himself through the way that he writes. Notice with me that this is the only letter that Paul will write and say, me and the brethren that are with me are against what's going on in your churches. Notice with me also that this is the only letter that Paul will not express unto the church a token of thankfulness for them. You can go through and read in other places. He will write, you know, perhaps in the different books, he will say, thanks be unto God for your love of the brethren. Thanks be unto God for your prayers. Thanks be unto God. But here in the book of Galatians, there is no token of thankfulness for them. Thirdly, he doesn't even call them saints here in this letter. In everything that Paul doesn't say as he is writing this letter, there's one thing he does say. He says, grace to you. Grace to you. Not only did God show them grace by his son dying on the cross, but he is also showing grace unto them by dealing with them through the handwriting of Paul. Even though they have turned into another gospel, even though they have believed the deceptions of those certain individuals, even though they are trying to live right without the grace of God and without the blood of Jesus Christ, God still deals with them here in this letter. And this is God's grace to them. Matter of fact, all the Pauline epistles, with maybe the exceptions of Titus, Paul will open up and say, grace be unto you. You read in the book of Romans, the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and so on. He will write unto them and say, grace unto you, or grace to you. Let me put it to you like this. Every time we're able to sit in the sanctuary and hear the word of God preached, do you know what that is? That is God's grace unto us. That is God giving us grace. Has there ever been a time in your life where you're sitting in the house of God and the preacher started preaching one of those hard messages and you realize it's like he's been reading your mail and now he's stepping on your toes? You ever been there, friend? Thank God for it. You know why? That is God giving you grace. I said that is God giving you grace. He is dealing with you through the voice of a man. God's given us grace. Do you understand that God could have left every one of us in the dark?
It could have left us in our sin. It could have left us in the dark, left us with no guidance and no knowledge and no enlightenment, and told us to figure it out for ourselves. But yet he decided that he was going to give us grace. I'm telling you, friend, that is not God showing us his hot displeasure. That is not God showing us his wrath unto us. Every time the word of God is preached and you feel the conviction of God, it's your heart. Thank God for it. God's not mad at you. He just simply wants to show you that you can live a better life. You can turn this thing around. It's not too late. He's given you grace. God. Every time I hear the word of God preached, that is God's grace to me. Every time I crack open the word of God and read the words on its pages, that's God's grace unto me. Every time I feel the conviction of God when hearing his word or when reading his word, that is God's grace unto me. Every time that my heart has been enlightened by the word of God, that is God's grace unto me. He's showing me his grace by his word, by his conviction, through his spirit. He's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Oh, God. He's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Continue reading. Obviously, you'll end up at the last verse of the chapter. Of the book, excuse me. At the end of this letter, we will read where Paul states, "Grace be with you." Now here in Virginia, we don't have an English problem. So you all know that there's a distinct difference between the word "to" and the word "with." Me and Brother Shane, we have been friends for years now. Goodness. We were friends long before I lost my hair. We were friends before he started losing his. We were friends before I started gaining weight. No? Okay. It's all right. I appreciate Brother Shane. I appreciate his ministry. I appreciate his friendship. A lot of people don't know, but Brother Shane has been there for me through a lot of the hardest times of my life, a lot of the decision makings. He was there. Not necessarily deterring me one way or another, but just helping me to see the full picture. Thank God for men like that. And so, I know, y'all looking at me, I got him a gift. All right, yeah, I had to take a loan out for this. But here we are. I got him a gift. This gift, Brother Shane, if you would stand, I'm going to give it to him.
Yes, sir.
It's your gift now. Don't use it all in one day. Don't use it all in one place. That gift was given to him. And now as Brother Shane goes to the back of the church and goes on his merry way, where is that gift? You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me, friend. Not only do we need God's grace to us through the preaching, the dealing of the Spirit of God, but we need his spirit to go with us to help us to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. He says, now that you have received this instruction, that grace is going to go with you and help you as you go. Listen, back in March of last year, Brother Derek and Brother Tony over in Africa. Well, Tony was supposed to be over there, but that's besides the point. And
We had already lined up who was supposed to be preaching, me and Brother Matt Willis. We're alternating. We already had it all lined up, and so when Brother Tony wasn't able to go, he just said, well, I'll just take the next 2 weeks off. Y'all take care of it. Well, Matt Willis got up, and he preached. He preached probably one of the most dynamic messages on unity I've ever heard a young man preach. He preached, this wasn't the title of his message, but in essence, his message was unity among the saints for the edification of the body of Christ. For the edification of Christ. That not only should me and you get along, brother, because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, we should get along because we're representing Him. I don't fight with my brothers and my sisters because then we have schism within the church. Bad representation of Christ. Dynamic message, I'm telling you. Such a pure heart. Such a pure message. He called us all up to the front of the church and told us to grab hands. Women on one side, men on the other. You know how churches do. And we're all holding hands. We're praying for each other. Asking God to help us to have unity and love for one another. That if there's anything that we need to fix, Lord, help us to fix it. I remember, and you might look at me sideways. I remember as that next week, I was down in the tabernacle there. Something had happened earlier in the week that kind of frustrated me. I know y'all probably haven't gotten like this, but I thought in my mind about this one particular lady in our church, I wish she'd have just been quiet. I'm sorry. I know I'm the only one. Okay. About that time, Holy Ghost dealt with me. Unity for the edification of Christ. You know what that was? God's grace was with me. Oh, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have gone down that road. Forgive me. I shouldn't have had that thought. Forgive me. I'm telling you, friend, not only do I need the word of God, amen, to convict, not only do I need to hear his word and God give grace to me through his word and through the preaching of the word of God, but as I'm going about my day and going into Kroger and going into Walmart, wherever I'm at and just going about my life, I need that grace to go with me. I'm telling you, friend, I've messed up. I've made a fool of myself. I've not done right in the sight of God all the time. But thank God that his grace has always gone with me. Thank God his grace has always been there. And he has helped me and spoke to me and dealt with me on how I need to live. His spirit goes with us. The spirit with us, that is God's grace with us. Brother, he could have left me there in that tabernacle. Those times where, you know, y'all got a lot of it around here. Them cars cut you off. I was driving the other day. Yesterday, I believe. Somebody cut me off. I looked at my wife. I was like, oh, Lord. Can't handle this. Come on now. God deal with you. Shouldn't honk your horn like that. Come on now. Well, I guess I'm the only one. Thank you, brother, for being honest. Don't look back here. Y'all didn't were honest with me. Man's the only man here that's going to be like, hey, I know what you're talking about. God's grace with us. That voice that you hear, not audible, shouldn't do that. You shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't have reacted that way
He's treated us better than we deserve. Do you understand? It is his faith that he gives to us. And it's by his word, his blood, his spirit that lives within us. Everything is his. It's all his. The money that I have is his. He's the one that gave it to me. Everything that I have, the blood that's been applied to my life, the life that's in my body, every breath that I take is given from God. I'm telling you, friend, he's been better to us than we deserve. We need to lift up our hands and give him glory and honor where it is due. He's been a gracious God. How amazing that grace has been. He's been wonderful. He's been awesome. He's been my amazing and gracious God. Thank God for his grace. As my wife comes to the piano. Everybody would stand. Now that they have received the grace of God through the word of God, handwriting of Paul, they're able to take this word, apply it to their lives. Or if I could put it like this, when Paul writes his introduction, he says, y'all have already heard it once. But here I am. God led me to deal with you again. You ever had to be dealt with again? I was talking with Brother Shane. We were just, you know, catching up, talking about different things. And we were talking about different ways that people view God. And I've been reading this book here recently on how to raise sons. I've got two of them. And in a sense, I want a third one. But I also like a daughter too. But if we get a third son and then a daughter, that's fine with me too. Y'all pray. I've been reading this book about how to raise sons and how kids view their father is important. If all I do is yell at my boys, whoop them, say no all the time, don't show them any affection, don't show them any mercy, any grace, that's how they'll view God. He is our heavenly Father. And so we were talking how God deals with us. He deals with us as a father. And I want you to think about it, fathers. Your kids called you right now. Dad, I'm in a mess. I'll be there. And no matter what they've done, where they've been, how bad it is, you're going to be there. Am I right? If a father's got any weight to him at all, God deals with us as a father.
Father, I've messed up.
It's all right. We'll work on this. Or if he catches you and you've done something you ought not to have been doing. I do that often with Finley. Hey now, you know better than that.
Yes, sir.
for his grace. I have felt his grace so much this year. Brother Austin, it's only the 19th. You have no idea what this recommitment has done for me in my heart. And I pray it stays. But I can say without a doubt that God has treated me far better than I've ever deserved. Can you say amen to that? So I'm going to do something a little. Let's do something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place here this morning, and you're saying, Brother Austin, I have felt the grace of God. I have felt the conviction of the Spirit of God. I've not been living a life that I need to be. I've not been at a good place with God. You may be in this place here this morning, and you might not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning you heard the gospel message. Christ was sent to this world to die on the cross as a sacrifice for you. Not only did he die on the cross, but he was buried for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again. And when he rose for our justification. He rose to give us life. Paul said it like this: if we believe that we are crucified with Christ, if we believe that we've been buried with Christ, then we believe that we live with him also. You can be made alive this morning. Brother Austin, I've not been living quite how I should be. I feel the conviction of God. That's God's grace to you. If that's you, friend, slip up that hand. No one looking around. Slip up that hand. Thank you for these hands. Is there anybody else? Thank you for this hand. Thank you for these hands. Oh, God. Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask all the church, those that are willing and those that are able, let's come gather around these altars. And when we come, let us come rejoicing because of the grace of God. And after you're done rejoicing, if there's others that are praying around you, grab a hold of them and pray. Pray with them. Pray with them until they pray through. Come on, church, let's gather in.
Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, such an empty place.